How does it feel to be intoxicated? Can one really break from the habit of substance abuse? And what can really society do to break the scourge of substance abuse? This and more in today's episode. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. It is your host, Tinashe Mhlanga, aka Dr. Truth, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Truth's podcast for yet another exciting episode. You know what we are all about on Dr. Truth's podcast, keeping it fun, moral, and informing. I just want to say thank you very much for continuing to view and review the content that we give you. We very much appreciate that, and please don't forget to like. Also, if you are new to this platform, please do subscribe for more and help us grow. So today we are going to be talking about a very serious subject, particularly in the time that we are living in. We shall be talking about drugs. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about drugs. They are good, but if abused, they can be very destructive. Before going further, allow me to extend a mega shout out to the following people. Shout out to Shanine Moffat, Messi Joe, and my lighty Kudzaishi. Shout out to Leroy Musangea, aka Dr. Seuss, Tim Kudze Maposa, all the way in the UK, and Panache Arnold Chikwata. Cheers to you guys. So, as I highlighted earlier, today we are going to be talking about substance abuse. In an era where drug and substance abuse seem to be on the rise globally, Zimbabwe has not been left as an exception. There is an unprecedented rise in young people indulging in drug and substance abuse like any other time in history. In fact, it seems like it's the in thing, or rather say the fashionable thing to be doing at present time. And some would probably say, if you're not doing it, wakasara, you know. However, we know of the adverse consequences that can be associated with being involved in drug and substance abuse. The truth of the matter is, you know, some few years down the line, you look back and just wish that you'd done something differently. So our guest today is a young man and one who was previously caught up in the habit of substance abuse, but fortunately was able to break free. Today we are joined via a conference call by Tino Tender Terra, and he is just going to walk us through his experience and how he eventually managed to break free or break out of the habit. And we just hope that you are able to pick up some, you know, nuggets from the conversation that we're going to have. And maybe if you are caught up in the habit, it might come in handy. Or if you have been contemplating starting on substance abuse, maybe this might just be an advantage to you. So hopefully this does come in handy. So, Mr. Tino Tender, pleasure to have you on the platform today. And thank you for agreeing. You know, it's not really easy for someone to just come through and say, I'm going to share about my story, about my journey. So we very much appreciate you for doing that. But before we can go into much depth, just take us through who Tino Tender Terra is, then we proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mhlanga, for the opportunity. Okay, what I would say about myself is, I'm naturally an inquisitive person, right, since childhood. I was full of mischief since I was young, so that is who I am. So that curious trait in me always led me to try to experiment on this and that so that I may know what that actually is. So I think that also led me to substance abuse.
Thank you for that brief introduction. So without any further ado, let's just go straight into the Q&A. Take us briefly through how you eventually got caught up in substance abuse habit. How did it all begin? How did you end? How did you eventually find yourself caught up doing that?
Okay, for me, okay, when I was young, I grew up in a society which I think is a normal society to you all guys, because everyone will be telling you the bad things about the drugs, everything. Everyone will be telling you that don't ever venture into that area because it's not for good people, it's just for the bad guys who sit on the streets, you know. So to me, it was the only thing I knew about those drugs, and I didn't care much about it, right? I met two of my friends who I knew very well, so I knew they were good guys. So that idea of them being the bad guys who sit on the streets did not click well with me. So they were doing all these things every day, right? Then they would come to me behaving in an unseemly way, in an uncommon manner, right?
Yeah.
So I would be asking myself, what's happening to these guys? What are they feeling? Why are they behaving this manner? And I didn't believe what they were telling me. They were saying, I'm intoxicated, so you should tolerate me. And I said, no, I don't tolerate such things. Huh?
Right.
So you guys are pretending or something, right? Then they said, no, we're not pretending. We're actually intoxicated. Then I say, how can someone's brain get intoxicated? So I wanted to feel that thing with the feeling so that maybe I can judge them properly.
Okay.
You know? Then we went together and hid somewhere as school students, because it was a boarding school. So we went to a secret corner, then we started doing the thing, smoking in bunch, right? So the first time I did that, I didn't get intoxicated, right? So I was angry because I was now smelling bad.
All right.
And I didn't get any feeling.
Okay. You wanted the feeling of being intoxicated.
Okay. Like, I was telling them that, no, you guys, you're pretending because I didn't get the feeling which you guys attend the end result of smoking, right? So, we stayed. Maybe after a month or two, these guys were still doing the same thing. Then I said, you guys, today, let me try this thing one more time. And if I don't see any change, I'm telling you, we're going to fight because you're behaving in an unseemly way. Right? So I went again the second time and hid somewhere. And this time they were saying, we are going to monitor you. We're going to see that you do it properly. Right? Then you got into that thing. Then I smoked and they were teaching me how to smoke. Yeah, then I did everything that they told me to do. Then we got up. They said, lift up your leg. Then I was like, I lifted up my leg. Then nothing was wrong. I went into the class. The moment I went into the class, then everything, my life changed. Everything, the way I saw things changed. And I was laughing and laughing and laughing and fainting and waking up at the same time and things. You know, very different from what I knew, and it was an exciting feeling.
Okay.
And for the first time, I think it's, the thing hit me almost for the whole day.
Okay.
So it was something which was very interesting.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, it was interesting. Because no one can just do something which is just boring and keep doing it again.
So it's
something fun.
Okay.
So great.
Okay.
But at the same time, it was coming back to my head that some people, now we call them misvote, people who are just addicted to those things and they no longer, they just have their own way of living and they're not appetizing to the eye when you look at them. So I was just telling myself that no, I shouldn't be like those guys in the streets, in the prison. And no one, even though those guys who I was smoking with, my friends, they were there, same idea as well. We don't want to end at, you know, where the with the guys on the bridge, yeah, like them.
Right.
So then I stopped, maybe after a month or two. I wanted that feeling back because it was something worth doing.
It was an amazing feeling.
So those people start saying, once in a while, right? At the time, it was something fun. It was very fun.
Okay.
So now, I'll skip maybe 2 weeks and do it again because I didn't want to be addicted like this guy. So I think myself, I can control myself. I can control myself. So skipping 2 weeks, skipping a month, but eventually I was like doing it every day, thinking that I can control myself. So since I was able to skip for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So now I was doing it every day, thinking that I can control myself as I used to do.
Mm, but you already addicted.
You know? So, for you to know that you are addicted, then you have to quit when you know you are addicted. Mm. When you want to quit, and you can no longer quit.
Okay.
So when you don't want to quit, even if you do it 5 times a day, you already know that you are addicted because you have no problem with what you are doing.
Okay.
Right. So it's something which comes to you after maybe, I think, when you want to stop, and that's when you know you're addicted.
Okay.
So it is every day, 3 times a day. It was like we're enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And everything fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then, I think one of the things, maybe the advantages, okay, of smoking, which I experienced, because so sometimes I would see advantages doing that. Then I was like, maybe when doing some schoolwork, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe they say mathematics or geography,
yes,
whatever. What I was doing from form, I would get that intense understanding.
Okay, deep understanding. That
extra intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You understand a lot of things at the same time.
Okay.
Right? So that you can even laugh at what you understand. Because it's,
okay.
It's just not normally happen to you. You know? So, yeah. Let's say, for example, they give you a test, which is for 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
You would spend an hour doing that thing because you'll be enjoying the thing and discovering new methods of solving the thing, and you just need more mental power at the time, you see?
Okay.
So, but then after, afterwards, the downside of that was that after maybe, let's say, an hour of doing the thing, of exercising this excessive mental power, I would be weaker than my normal self. I couldn't even solve maybe the rest of my problems, not because I didn't know, but the mental power would be drained.
Okay, you'd have been drained, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, do you want to say something?
No. You can actually continue because I see that you had already gone into my second question, which was the experiences of how you know you would feel during and after having some of the smokes. So yeah, I think you can continue. Then we'll just move on to the next question.
Okay, so yeah, those were the upside and the downside.
Okay.
Then another maybe upside of it was the unnatural confidence, especially with ladies, right? So because you know, that age, you'd be like, I want to be confident with the ladies. Then you smoke, then have it, all the shame will be gone, right?
Okay.
So you can do whatever you want to do.
All right. Yeah, I can relate to what you're saying.
It was something worth all that. Yeah, no. Then I would like it to shift to a personal maybe experience, in a sense, because maybe what I've just a general experience, eh?
Right.
But I think maybe due to my perspective as someone who is aware of the spirit realm, right? That we're not, because I don't just believe that we're a human being living in the world, everything just. I believe that they influence our behaviors at some time, right? So during my phone four time, right, when you're about writing the exams, then there's a certain day why I got alarmed about. I suspected that there might be a demon involved in my addiction of that thing, or in my consumption of that drug.
Alright.
Because I was busy thinking to myself, like, next week I'm writing exams and I'm still smoking like him. No one's business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fail.
Alright.
Because then I wasn't someone who was reading a lot, because I used to play a lot.
Okay.
Then I had this voice coming in my mind saying, no, relax, Tira, you will pass.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to your patch, then I jumped off the chair, and we were smoking at that step.
Okay.
And I jumped off the chair and ran away, because where did this voice come from? But well, I wouldn't want to mention on that, but I think some of the behaviors are enforced by spirits, so that maybe they destroy the lives of human beings, right?
Okay.
And another thing, which maybe I would love to share maybe in this thing, I had a brother of mine who was 2 years older than me, who had at the same school at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was in upper sixth, and I was in form four. And in form four, he was like, just like me, he was playful, never read, never took time to study.
Mm-hmm.
Then he passed well. Then in A level, when I was form six, I was form four, then I got sent to South as he got in form four. But nice. At A level, he could just got 1 point. Right? So it's. Because I knew that he was intelligent.
Okay.
Right. But.
So there was something fishy.
And I could relate because What?
I'm saying there was something fishy. I'm saying there was something fishy.
Yeah.
The intelligent guy all of a sudden is not measuring up to the standard.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I could relate because I wrote 9th,
mm-hmm.
It's in form 4. When I wrote agriculture, I was intoxicated because I thought, I can do it intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only subject which I failed. I got a D.
Okay.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm. I could answer some questions and I couldn't finish the whole paper because I was left just enjoying a few questions. So,
okay.
This thing can. It helps you, but it also it doesn't fully help you.
Okay.
It maximizes a few points and weakens the rest of the potential.
Okay, all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Tinote, and for walking us through, you know, how you started and walking us through the experiences. I actually did pick up some few points, right? Like how just the inquisitiveness of a person can lead them down a path of destruction, right? Because you are just inquisitive about if really these effects were real on those guys, and you found yourself already caught up in the habit of smoking marijuana or smoking imbanje, as it's commonly known. So yeah, during the days that we were in high school, there was a widely upheld assumption that if someone smoked mbanje and went into class or did some activity, they would do that, you know, to the best of their capacity, right? And yeah, Mr. Tira, they're coming through and telling us that, you know, there were scenarios where you'd after smoking and you would, you know, like work the meth like no man's business. So yeah, quite an interesting discussion that we have today. So Mr. Tira, can you tell us when you subscribed to any faith at the time that you got involved with substance abuse, and how, you know, if so, how were the faith and your habit shaping your narrative about life?
Okay, when I got involved in the substance abuse, I was like form 3, right? And at that time I wasn't involved in any religious belief, right? I believe that there was a God, but it wasn't a conscious belief. It was something which was subconscious due to maybe media and movies, but I hadn't taken a decision to be following that God throughout my lifetime. So I wouldn't say I was a Christian or anything, right? So I had no convictions about the substance abuse as something which was wrong, because I think it was all about my choice and my cards, playing my cards right and making sure that I don't get addicted. But it wasn't about any religious thing, but well, the thing caught me afterwards.
Okay, thank you very much, Tunatenda, for that response. Now, as we move on, you probably had justifications to the habit that at that time. You were probably justifying your habit some type of way, you know, maybe when people were trying to correct you and say, maybe don't do this, don't do that, you know, or maybe people trying to reprimand you and so on. You probably had some justification as to why you were doing that, and you probably saw it as something worth your while. So what were some of these justifications that you had for your habit?
When someone does something, they'll probably have a justification for what they're doing. My justification was a simple question, was why not do it? Then obviously the wise would be like, it will waste your life, but I wasn't that old to be reasoning in that way. So, but that was also, maybe I was conscious of that fact, but I thought I could use it wisely, because everyone says too much of everything becomes destructive. So I would tell myself that I can manage it. I don't want to get as far as that other guy next to me. So, and the other thing, it wasn't like it was all about smelling bad or something. It was nice in a sense, because you could get some benefits out of it. So yeah, use it well, you get your results well. So that is what I thought about it. So that was my justification. And another thing which I thought was leading me on was that the people who would criticize it were the people who actually knew nothing about it. So I would be saying, how these people are just talking because they think it's like this. But because even in my experience of the smoking out, if anyone would come to me and try to maybe convince me that smoking was bad, I tell you the truth, after the conversation, that person would end up believing that I had told them the truth. In fact, I was more right than them. They would even consider smoking themselves, because I think the danger was, I had a friend at A level. I know you know him, Mr. Planjo, we were together at school. Joker, I had convinced him that smoking was good, and initially he was like, no, smoking isn't good, but I convinced him, and he went on and tried it. And most painfully, my sister, who was a year younger than me, also believed in what I was saying, and I almost got to smoke. You know, that's a bad thing, because I'm someone who actually believes what they do. So I don't have a problem with sharing what I believe. So, and if I can represent my arguments properly, then that's a damage to the person who is listening to me. So, and I got many people involved in this thing. So I actually had proper arguments to talk about, to support my smoking, and it was something very painful indeed. So what I would say, also adding on that note, I would say it is not good for a man to be without knowledge. I think that's Proverbs 19. It is not good for a man to be without knowledge. Everyone should try to get an understanding of the realities behind substance abuse and drug abuse, so that they may know what is happening. Because most of the times, the people who have never smoked, they don't quite clearly represent the issues involved in smoking. So the one who's smoking, most of the times, he's got an upper hand, because that person knows the facts, and if he can present the facts to you of the benefits of smoking, he might convert you to be a smoker. This I've seen through experience. So it is not good for a man to be without knowledge.
Quite an interesting response there, Mr. Tino. You say you'd justify it, saying, why not? Indeed, perhaps maybe, you know, a person can say that was just maybe an ignorant type of answer, or maybe, you know, at times when we don't really have our facts right, we are really confident in our error, you know, very confident in error. And yeah, thank you very much for coming through with that. And yeah, like what you said, it is important, like, for people to get knowledge, you know, whether you're in the habit or you want to confront someone who is in the habit. Do you have enough knowledge? If you're in the habit, do you have enough knowledge to be doing what you're doing? If you want to confront someone, do you have enough knowledge to confront that someone? You see? And we really appreciate that. Okay, so moving on. We understand that you finally broke out of the habit. What was the initiating factor of you breaking out of the habit? And how did you eventually manage to quit?
Okay, yeah, I actually broke out from that addiction. Thank God for that. What I would say was the initiating factor for that process. When I broke out of it, I think it's Christmas 2020. I think it's 2021. Oh God. Okay, I think it's 2020. Yeah, 2020. End of 2020. That is when I was quitting the thing, right? Yeah. In fact, the final points of my quitting was 2021, but 2020 was the year which I began to quit the thing, right? So it wasn't a one-day thing, boom, now I've stopped. No, it was a process. So the initiating factor was my belief in God, one, right? And even my academic decline, because at school it was disturbing me sometimes when I would smoke. Sometimes even at school, I would, especially when I was in upper six, I would bring about 9 balls of those things at school and hide them in a certain library, which was no longer in use. I know you know it, Mr. Mhlanga, because we were together at school. Then I would hide them there, and then I would smoke. I think it's, So the initiating factor was my belief in God, right? And my academic decline as well. So, yeah. Okay, and also adding to the initiating factor, I think if for someone to quit this thing, they have to have a reason to quit. It's not like just quit, it's bad. No, you have to have a reason to quit. For me personally, the reason which I had for quitting was, I was beginning to have a relationship with God, a personal relationship, not a religious relationship, but a personal relationship with God. Like, I would read the Bible and hear God's voice, and in fact, at that time I wasn't going to any church, so I was a free man. I would read my Bible and interpret it however I liked to, however it appeared to say to my mind, right? So then I would pray and experience God. So during those experiences, God would help me to understand that I should quit this thing. Then I would have that zeal to do it. Then I would fall back on it and try to quit, and God would encourage me. Like, I would, yeah, because the reason which made me to quit was always there, which is God. So I wouldn't get discouraged when I fell into the temptation, because sometimes I would go back to my brothers, right? Those people whom I was smoking with, and I would find them smoking, right? Then they would pass it to me. Then I would find it hard to resist it, and I'll just take it. Then I'll say, let me just see it one round. Then before you know it, I would have maybe hit four rounds. So, and I would feel guilty because I had told myself that I wanted to quit. So, but then I want to thank God, because he would never leave me when I was discouraged. He would help me. And I wasn't listening to any materials on how to quit smoking. It was just God who helped me. And he was encouraging me. I would give it all to God. I don't want to lie to anyone and say I was doing this and that. Of course, I was trying to minimize my associations with those people who would drive me to smoke. But it was God. Because I remember one day I thought I wasn't able to quit, because when I told myself I want to quit, the following day I would go back to the same thing. So I'd finally agreed and say, okay, let me not quit, because maybe it's not necessary for me to quit. God, after all, understands what I'm going through. But when I would come to that conclusion, God would no longer encourage me, and I'll feel that darkness and that hole and that misery. Then I would have to decide to quit. Then I would feel the encouragement of God to help me quit, because when we decide to do what is good, God surely assists those people that decide to do good. But if you say, I cannot do it, then God cannot help you, because he cannot force you to do something which you cannot. But if you say, I can do it through his power, of course, maybe some of you are not religious, but if you decide to do it, God will help you quit it, right? Because after all, we are his creation. So I want to talk about this experience, which actually showed me that I was an addict. I think there are two situations. There are many situations, but I just want to tell about two. One day I was at my auntie's place, my mom, and it was a Friday. So I went with a sachet of wheat. They call it skunk in the high grade. So I was there. Then it was Saturday morning. I had started about Sabbath, so I would say today I would rest and smoke my weed, right? So in the morning I went out, smoked some weed. Then afterward, when I wanted to pray, then I understood that God wasn't happy about what I was doing. Then I had to stop, right? Then I took my sachet and threw it in a pole, you know, those poles that help support the gates, right? Those round poles where you can even throw your papers and whatever. So I threw it there and it went deep. Then as the day went by, I was craving it, and I tried to remove it from there, and I was facing failures, and I was like, I want it, but I couldn't get it. Then finally submitted to a loss. So the first thing I did when I came from my auntie's place, I think it was after a week, I was smoked, but I knew that it wasn't good. So I would try to quit and quit, because when I smoked, I would feel guilty, then try to quit. Then the other experience is a similar one. I was at Escortine. I bought some weed and went to a place which was a secret place. Then I rolled my weed. When I was about to smoke, that guilt could not allow me to smoke, because I had made a decision to quit. I threw it away, and I was on my way home, I couldn't angle the edges. I bought another thing and smoked. So it was a pattern of two steps forward, three steps back. But at the end of it all, God assisted me, because he never left me to suffer alone. In fact, he would encourage me, and I would hear his voice in my heart, in my mind. So I think I would give it all to God. I don't want to lie and say many things.
Thank you once again, Tino Tinda, for that response. You know, I just want to add on that, you know, when people are told about something from a person who doesn't have experience, they are more likely to just take it lightly, you know, just because this person doesn't have experience. But I just want to say to someone listening, hear it from the people that were once in the habit and managed to break out. Maybe you are not in the habit, we are not yet in the habit, or you are in the habit and you're struggling in the habit, or you're in the habit and you think you're enjoying the habit, right? That leaving the habit is actually difficult. What is actually difficult? It's actually a difficult job. You can't just do it overnight. You can't just, you know, wake up and say I will quit, or you can't just start and say no, I'll manage to control it, because eventually you're going to get very much caught up. You're going to get very much addicted, such that you can't do without. As we were seeing, as we heard from Tino Tenda, as we were explaining how, you know, he struggled with trying to quit, you know. And I appreciate you know, like introducing the issue of his faith in God, how God eventually helped him along the way of being free from this habit. Because at times, you know, we try human efforts and human efforts do fail. So to someone who's listening, maybe you are in the habit, maybe you're enjoying the habit, or maybe you're not enjoying the habit, you're struggling in the habit because you now have some other behaviors or some character which you don't really appreciate, you know, and you've tried everything possible. Why not try God and see if it is not going to bring about a breakthrough? I mean, Tino Tenda tried it and it worked. So you could try it as well, and it could be your doorway to breakthrough. Okay, thank you very much once again, Tino Tenda. Now, as we move on from the time that you broke from this habit, have you ever felt any urges of wanting to go back to marijuana? Have you ever had that urge?
Okay. Sometimes I feel the urge to go back, especially when I'm stressed, when life hits me hard. I think I need something to distress my mind. Then I would think straight about alcohol and weed. Then another thing which comes back to my mind after thinking about that is the hardship which I faced when coming out of it, and I can never face it again. So I wouldn't place myself in a situation where I have to struggle again to come out of. So yeah, the edges may come, but they're not as strong as they were back then. When they come again, when they come this time, there'll be like thoughts and just cravings for ease. And so when I think about things which can give me an ease or a peace of mind, those things come in the list, but they're not as forcing, yeah. They're not as pressing, yeah, but they do come. But yeah, they are enjoyable. Even if they come, I can forget them in a second, right?
Wow. So I guess even after breaking out from the habit, you still need to continually fight those thoughts, because you now know the feeling. You know, like how the soothing feeling that comes from this drug. So you now need to continually fight those thoughts that want to push you back to that habit. Wow, thank you very much. Okay, so the drug scourge is one that has a tight grip on society today. What is your word to someone who is caught up in this habit? Maybe they are enjoying it, or maybe they are struggling to quit. What word do you have for such a person?
Okay, yeah, it's true. Many people are indulging in the thing, in the weed, right? So what I would say to someone, I would firstly talk to the ones who are struggling about it. I want to tell you one thing. It's a war, right? You have to fight it till the end, because if you quit fighting, then you will never come out of it. There has to be a purpose, right? So I would say, remember the reasons why you want to quit, right? And sit alone, ask for strength from above. God will help you, because he actually wants you to quit. So he will assist you in quitting. But if you give up on trying, then you will never be free. So keep going, my friend. Many of us have passed through that road and we're still facing other things. So you're not alone in this thing. You have to fight and win and to move on to the next level. Then to those that are enjoying the thing, thinking that maybe they are wise or something, I would tell them straight to their face that you are not wise, because you actually know that you are not wise, because you're not as productive as you could be. You are not as helpful as you could be. Maybe you are useless to some people, because by the time maybe they need you to do some chores at home or do some work at the office, you'll be trying to satisfy that need, which weakens your ability to even do service to others. So you're useless in a sense if you continue to do that, right? If you think you are useful, maybe you are working at less than half of your capacity if you would stop smoking. So if you're enjoying this thing, you're just enjoying your death, right? But if you want to improve and become a better person, there's no two ways about it. You have to stop it.
Interesting, very interesting. Well, Tino Tender says, don't quit trying to quit, right? It's a war, and remember why you want to quit. I will not add any more words, lest I dilute such words of advice. Right, briefly take us or walk us through what society thinks about like people who are in this habit of drug and substance abuse. What is the view of society concerning these people?
Okay, people who are caught up in drugs are viewed as people that are useless, as people that are thieves, because most of the people caught up in drugs are people that do not work, so they also need money to cater for their addiction. So society is well aware of those people, especially if they are close people to you, right? They will sometimes steal from you so that they can satisfy their need, or would even sell things at a cheap price so that they can satisfy their needs. So people view them as people who are not mentally straight, who cannot think clearly, because actually what they're doing proves to be not thinking clearly, because those people are driven by what they are addictions. So that is the view of society and on those people. But I would say to those people, especially those that are trying to quit, I just need to help people view you, because society always be society. We cannot change the society at once, and I don't think we can change it. I don't know if there are ways, but I think trying to change the views of society to fit those, to support smoking, trying to change the view of society to accommodate those that smoke, I think it would be a dangerous thing, because smoking on itself is not a good thing. So let's leave society alone with their views, and let those that are struggling with these addictions struggle out of it, right? Because we cannot change everyone's view, and you know that changing someone's view takes a large amount of effort, and that effort we do not have. The only effort which we have is to struggle out of that addiction and later on help our fellow brothers that are still enjoying or suffering in the addiction, right?
Well, I totally agree with you there, Tino Tender. You know, like these people, they are generally viewed as people who are useless, who can not benefit society in any way, you know, and at times of course parents are trying to guide their children by saying don't be like so and so. See, now they're just sitting by the bridges and doing nothing. But I think the attitude of the society to people who are caught up in drugs also matters, because at the end of the day, our mission, our agenda is to try and get those people rehabilitated, right? So I would not say that they are totally useless, but you know, they are just people who have been unfortunate to fall on the wrong path, you see. So I really think that the bottom of the matter is that these people are human, and they are just unfortunate to be on the path that they are on. And as much as they are human, they need to be loved, right? And they need to be helped to get their self back. I really think that that is the approach to helping these people. Now, as we draw to a close of this discussion, how do you think that communities or families can help, can best approach this scourge of drug and substance abuse? Because it's a cancer to our society, and we just want to eliminate it by all means possible, right? So how do you think we can really approach this issue? How do you think societies and communities and families can really, you know, approach this issue so that they really nip the issue in the bud?
Okay, I think families can approach this in a quite healthy way. Okay, one day a month ago or two, I'm not sure, but I was talking to my fellow brothers who I used to smoke with, and they are now addicted to this thing called crystal meth, right? And it's very addictive, and it's hard to quit. I think it's 10 times more than Mbanje, because it gives you a high which cannot be matched by any drug available in Zimbabwe. So of course, as compared to this boring life, what can you do? What can you prefer to do if you're someone who knows that enjoyment you obviously go to it? So I was asking them, what can I do for you guys? I mean, of course, I feel for you, but what can I do to help you? Then they were saying, we no longer want to do this because we know that it's killing us. Well, it's making us useless in our families. We cannot be people who are helpful in society. So we want to quit, but this age is too much. We cannot fight against it. So I was saying, that's the only way. That's the only thing you can do. But they suggested something else. They were saying, we should wipe out those people that are selling drugs, right? So that we may give those that are struggling a fair chance of recovery, right? Because we know that life sometimes may be difficult, and then when you are stressed, even trying to quit, you may ease yourself with that drug. So they were saying we should try to eliminate the people that are selling drugs. But imagine another problem is that the police are allowing it to happen. In fact, instead of suing those people that are selling drugs, the police takes money from them. So if our best maybe hope of eliminating the people that are selling drugs is sabotaged, then what can we do? So I think we have to help these people to shut up these people that are selling drugs. So I don't know what we can do as society, but that's one of the things we can do. Then, as families, I would say to those that have their loved ones affected by this thing, to talk to them, and trying to listen to them, and for you to be able, I think you have to have a fair amount of knowledge about the disadvantages of drugs, not those that are just theoretical, but the practical ones. For example, telling them that they are useful, that they are not that effective in specific points of their life, that may help them understand, and showing them what they could be if they could quit this thing, right? It also helps them. So that's an encouragement from families, but sometimes families become too harsh and discourage the souls that are struggling. But if you encourage them, it might help them, right? So that's the family front. Okay, so in conclusion, Mr. Mhlanga, I would say another thing which may be useful is to have rehabilitation centers. In Zimbabwe, there are no rehabilitation centers. in Blawa, in fact. Maybe they are there, but they are very expensive, like the normal addict cannot afford them. So they're as good as absent. So yeah, one thing that can help us, because we know that maybe to eliminate those that are selling drugs may be difficult. So to have a place where these people can hide is a good solution, in a sense, right? Then also I would like to stress out this point. Quitting is an individual work, in a sense. I would like to stress it again. Quitting is an individual work, because trying to rely upon society to do something for you, at that time might never come, because not everyone is concerned about your problem. So if you are aware of that problem, try to seek out people that can help you, but know that it is your duty to quit. No one will come and save you. If you think maybe you will quit at some point, when at that point will never come. You have to be determined to choose what you want, and also be aware that if you don't choose to stop, then the consequences of not choosing to stop are much more worse than the consequences of what of choosing to stop. Choosing to stop may be difficult because you'll be fighting against nature and those edges. But not choosing to stop also is worse, because you become a useless person and no one will love you. I want to tell you the truth. No one will consider even having you near their kids, or because you're not as useful as you can be, right? So maybe there are those that are highly gifted, maybe they're intelligent. You are using half of your intelligence, or less than half of your intelligence, because you could be way more than that. You know? So quitting is an individual choice, and you have to go for it, right? There are no two ways about it. So I hope you get encouraged, dear friends, because I know this is a struggle and it's difficult, but it is achievable. I believe God helps people to stop, right? So wherever you are, don't feel discouraged. There is a way out. Determination and prayer helps a lot. Thank you, Mr. Klanga, for the opportunity to speak to me.
Quite some insightful words there coming through from Tino Tender Terra. Indeed, family and society have a big role to play in ending this menace of drug and substance abuse. There is definitely need for a strategic plan, a strategic approach to how we can end this scourge. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tino Tender Terra, and we were discussing the issue of drug and substance abuse. And the take-home message is, you can definitely break out from that habit. So don't let that habit rob you of your potentially bright and rich tomorrow. Don't let that habit of drug and substance abuse, be it smoking, be it alcohol, be it crystal meth, don't let it be the defining factor of who you are, because definitely you can be something bigger and better than that which you are now, as you are still in that habit. If you think you're still enjoying the habit, think of where your habit will land you. Think of some 5-10 years from now. If you continue on crystal meth, if you continue on smoking, if you continue on alcohol, what is your future going to be like some 5-10 years down the line? Think of that, and maybe it may help you come to a decision of wanting to opt out of this habit of substance abuse, because I tell you that this habit is indeed wreaking havoc in the lives of many people. So in the name of shaping a great and bright future, we say no to drug abuse, no to mbanje, no to bronco, no to crystal meth, no to all of these drugs that are being abused in our communities, in our society. So next up is our health tip for the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in summer, and as many can confirm from across the country, it's grilling hot. Really, really hot. So let us be mindful of the heat waves. Let's make sure that we are always hydrated all day, every day. So let us make sure that we are always hydrated. Also, if you want to go out in the sun and you are one of those, just make sure that you have got sunscreen. right? And let us just stay safe from the sun. And also, you know, if you happen to find yourself with a headache, try not to treat the headache, but treat the underlying cause of the headache, which may likely be dehydration. You know, in some instances, people want to treat headaches with painkillers because they think it's the main problem, but the headache just comes through as an effect. So you need to get to the cause, which most likely in this heat wave stricken season is likely going to be dehydration. So it's an appeal, ladies and gentlemen, let us continue to stay hydrated. Let us not find ourselves in the sun for extended periods of time. And that's it for the health tip of the episode. Otherwise, from myself, Tinashe Mdlanga, aka Dr. Truth, stay healthy, stay blessed, and stay tuned to Dr. Truth's podcast. Till we meet again.